The reviews are in, and we're going to tell you what they are, but we've got a twist this week. We're not doing the full movies. Kinda. Sort of. It'll make sense. Just stick around. You'll understand. You'll know where we're going with it. He's Todd Vandenberg. I'm Rob Steele, and we're going to start with the four biggest trailers of the year. Kind of. Sort of. Maybe. That's what we're reviewing. At the first part, we're going to actually get to a big batch of holiday movies, most of them Christmas-related, not to watch. I mean, what? Everybody does. Here's my favorite Christmas movie. And a lot of them you look at and you watch and you go, that was crap. So we're going to flip that and go with, here are the Christmas movies not to watch. But let's get to these trailers first, because we actually missed the past couple weeks, so they're not as new as we'd like them to be. And yet, let's start with, you know, it's kind of annoying to see Todd nodding his head on radio. Thank you, Todd.
I did not want to affirm my affirmation for our audience. I just wanted to make it private.
Ah, right. Okay. Just checking. Let's start with the new Bond trailer, No Time to Die, which kind of sounds like No Time to Lose, but different. Anyway, is it just me, or does it not look like a standard Bond? It's a standard Bond movie. I mean, the one thing I saw in it that looked cool was riding the motorcycle up the stairs and jumping onto the street, which will make sense if you see the trailer, and you'll go, oh, that is kind of cool.
You'll think,
it's in the trailer. I've seen everything now. I've got all the other Bond movies. Do I need to see this one?
Sure you do.
Okay.
Daniel Craig's, allegedly.
Did you get anything else out of it?
Allegedly Daniel Craig's last Bond movie, although we've heard that before, so I hope it isn't. But, you know, if he's getting kind of tired of the franchise, then make this your last shot and keep on going. So, yeah, you'd still need to watch the movie, definitely. Because Daniel Craig, to me, he's the second best Bond, only after the very first Bond. He's been excellent in the role, and yeah, it's a Bond movie. You have to watch the Bond movies anyway. Even when they were back in the Roger Moore days, and they were like, ew, you had to watch them. So,
except Moonraker,
you can yes, except that one.
Although an interesting Bond note this week that's not related to the trailer, pardon me, I have a flu shot. In an interview with Bob Iger of Disney this week, he said that Disney, after buying Fox and Star Wars and the Taj Mahal and everything else that they've bought lovely, he said they're not interested in buying any more new stuff anytime soon, but he is a big fan of the Bond movies. And I thought to myself, geez, that's all Disney needs is to get the Bond movies. Cause I can't even see that making sense for Disney.
No, they would have to put that under a separate, you know, like revive. I don't know if they've actually killed off Fox as an entity, or which would be a stupid move on their part, but they could keep 20th Century Fox or 21st Century or whatever the heck they want to call it for movies that they can't do, like Deadpool, and put a Disney name on it. So I can see that, as long as they have a separate releasing channel, which doesn't have the word Disney anywhere on it, and they just rake in the bucks.
Hulu. All the Bond movies are going straight to Hulu. No.
Please don't. Oh my God. Yeah, don't do that.
I apologize if I gave you the idea. Please don't.
When it happens, we're all looking for you, Rob.
Yeah, my address is, I'm in South Florida.
Exactly.
Next trailer. And this one was a surprise, because I don't know that anyone was expecting the Black Widow trailer to come out when it did. But all of a sudden, you know, bam, there's a Black Widow trailer for the movie of the character that's dead. Hmm. We know it happened before the big... It's not the snap anymore. It would be the jump, I suppose. And if you haven't seen Endgame, just go along with it.
We found you. You're the person.
I thought it looked good.
Agreed. I thought it looked really good. It looks like a typical Marvel movie, by which I mean it looks action-packed with some funny bits, and it looks terrific.
And that's about all we can get out of it at this point.
Introduces a couple important new characters, which, of course, aren't new because this happens else time.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I've seen them in the books, but I have not seen them in 3D on a screen. You know, whatever.
Exactly.
And to go along with the female-led superhero movie, we've got another female-led superhero movie, Wonder Woman 1984, which I did initially have a problem with.
Yes.
It was the background music. Because the first thing that hit me, before I even realized it was the Wonder Woman trailer, even though I clicked on a thing that said, this is the Wonder Woman trailer, so I should have known what it was.
Sure.
The background music is New Order's song Blue Monday, which came out in 1986.
That's a problem right there.
It's called Wonder Woman 84. I forgot. It was actually on a 1983 album. Okay, shame. Fine. I now
shame
have no
you.
Problem.
Shame on you, Rob. Shame on you.
The song wasn't released as a single until 86.
See, there you go.
That's actually something that's on the internet right now. How could they screw that up? It turns out they didn't. It just looks like they might have, well, sounds, I guess, like they might have. But they didn't. And I thought it looked good. Even the lassoing lightning thing, which was kind of weird, but it's DC. It'll work.
That was weird, and it was really good. Yeah, the trailer for this, honestly, I was more excited for this trailer than I was for the Black Widow movie. And not more excited for the movie, but the trailer, I thought, did an even better job in the Wonder Woman because it showed kind of new things like lassoing. Lots of work with the lasso of truth, which is cool because it's kind of underused in the movies so far to me. So I love the fact that they're emphasizing that. Movie looks great. The best reaction to me was Brie Larson, of course, Captain Marvel, tweeting, can I get some sort of time travel machine to jump forward to, and she has the release date for Wonder Woman 1984. I thought, very, very cool. Yeah, it absolutely looks great, which is nice that it looks like DC has figured it out. Just make standalone pictures and do them right. And let's not worry about a big overarching story because we clearly can't do that.
Not with them anyway.
Not in live action, they can't.
And that brings us to, I think, the biggest trailer of the year because a lot of people, when they found out that Ghostbusters Afterlife was coming, everyone kind of went, I saw what you did with that movie in, last year, and it was crap. What the hell were you thinking?
Yeah.
And then this trailer came out, and holy cow, it looks really, really good.
It does indeed.
I think they've realized that the concept of the movie, which, if you think about it, is kind of right, they weren't necessarily comedies. They were, you know, supernatural action movies with a lot of humor thrown in. And that's what this looks like. They went back to, here's a radical idea, the original plan.
It does indeed.
It worked the first two times, I thought.
It definitely worked the first time, and most
Ghostbusters 2, I kind of, Ghostbusters 2 had its moments.
Oh yeah, definitely. It mainly works. It suffers because you're comparing it to the first one. It's like, that's a problem because that's a great movie. This looks terrific. A lot of the online buzz has been, oh, look, it's Stranger Things, the movie. It's like, oh, no, wait, it's actually Ghostbusters movie. And I get that comparison, but that's not a bad thing. Stranger Things is a great series. And the emphasis on an actual new generation, very, very smart. And just the way it's set up. And, oh, look, there's the Ecto-1. And, ooh, spoiler alert, it's in the trailer. That's what we're talking about. So, so well done. This trailer just looks terrific. Looks like they actually will nail this. And the fact that this Egon's son is directing this, Jason Reitman, is like, that's a huge boon right there because this guy's a great director. He's done some terrific movies. So really, really excited for this one. As far as I'm concerned, we talk about trailers. Do trailers make you want to see the movie? It's like, that's how you judge if a trailer is good or not. This is the best trailer, I agree. Because this really is like, wow, this movie's... All the trailers do a good job. But come on, everyone's going to see Black Widow. Everyone's going to see Wonder Woman. Everyone's going to see James Bond. And after the last attempt at a reboot, because they forgot that they need a script, that was a disaster. So there's not a lot of people who are thinking, another reboot of Ghostbusters. Now they are. Absolutely. This looks terrific.
And so it does have the original cast reprising their original roles. And none of them are in the trailer.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird, but it works. If you haven't seen the trailer and you've seen it scroll past on Facebook or something, click it. It's worth watching.
Absolutely it is. Yeah, the trailer itself is exciting. As just self-standing, as a little piece of entertainment, it's really good. Very, very cool stuff.
definitely worth the watch, as opposed to these Christmas movies we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Now
I'm sad.
There's a lot of Christmas movies, and a lot of them get the idea of what they're supposed to be. And then there's these. I am going to throw an honorable mention thing out to Nutcracker and the Four Realms, because I keep hearing it's a really horrible Christmas movie. Now, I had I'm not going to say I had the misfortune of watching it. I did see it, and I have certainly seen worse. It was entertaining-ish. I'm not really entirely sure how the Nutcracker is exactly a Christmas thing. I'm sure if you got a Nutcracker on the 4th of July, hey, it's a 4th of July movie now. Whatever. I mean, it's a little dated in that if you use Little Green Army Men instead of Nutcrackers, it might make a little more sense today. But this was written back then when Nutcrackers were a thing.
So you're saying this is the Ghostbusters 2 of Christmas movies? It's like it had its moments?
It had its moments, I guess. I don't know. It's not my kind of movie anyway. Kind of like, and I'll go ahead and start off my list of actual movies not to watch. Because I'm not a big fan of Arnold Schwarzenegger comedies.
Uh-oh.
And there have been a few of them. Arnold himself is actually a very funny guy.
He is indeed.
I've seen him do interviews, and you go, that was funny, Arnie. Just not to his face. Otherwise, he might kill you, terminate you. There we go. But he did a movie called Jingle All the Way, which I was going to put on this list, but I'm not now. Because I found out that there's a Jingle All the Way 2.
Also on my list.
Which, I mean, the first one was, frankly, hideous enough. But the second one was, one, produced by the WWE, which should be, you know, a death knell for anything. Yes. And two, it doesn't star Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No.
Arnie has been replaced with Larry the Cable Guy.
Yes.
Oh, my God. What a hideous idea.
Yeah, this is also on my list. I actually like Jingle All the Way, and, yeah, there are several super cringeworthy moments in Jingle All the Way. But Larry the Cable Guy is one of the least funny people on the planet. Obviously, other people disagree because he has a career somehow. But
I did want to give a shout out to Prilosec, which does work, although I'm not sure why you got Larry the Cable Guy as your spokesperson.
Oh, I know why. Because he gives you heartburn just seeing him or hearing his voice.
Ah, so it makes you want to reach for the pills. It's a selling gimmick.
Or thinking about his ridiculous gimmick. I can say this about him. He does better stand-up than acting, and his stand-up is awful.
That's...
He is a god-awful... He's not an actor. He's just some guy that they film, and he says things that someone else wrote for him. You can't even say he's a bad actor. So, yeah, Larry the Cable Guy in Jingle All the Way 2 is absolutely... That's an abomination. Yeah, that's not a Christmas movie. That's like the anti-Christmas movie. Although there are worse ones coming, perhaps. But yeah, that definitely made my list. But it does follow, it does show the trend of so many sequels that don't have the things that made the first one good or tolerable. So yeah, a lot of movies like that will pop up on this list. So yeah, Jingle All the Way 2, awful, awful disaster.
I will agree. What else you got on your list?
I'm going to go with one of the biggies. I'm going to go with the Santa Claus. C-L-A-U-S-E.
Oh,
all okay. Three of them. Tim Allen, he is an actor, and I've seen him do some acting. he can do some good work, I'll admit it. But not in the Santa Claus. It's his typical Tim Allen mugging bit, where it's like, oh, look how funny I am. It's like, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. So, all three of these movies, and I know a lot of people like the Santa Claus. And Santa Claus 2, not so much. And by the time they throw in a Jack Frost type character for the third one, it's over. Martin Short, a king of mugging.
I'm sorry. If you're trying to rescue your franchise by throwing in Martin Short.
Exactly. No. Yeah. So, just, like I said, I can barely stand. Galaxy Quest, really funny movie. Yes, Tim Allen stars in it. Yes, he plays kind of a smug jerk. But it works because they got a smug jerk to play a smug jerk. That works in that movie. That's about the only movie, no, not about, that is the only movie or any kind of entertainment I can stomach watching Tim Allen. Yeah, the Santa Claus is just gross.
Hang on, Toy Story, you're not actually watching Tim Allen.
I don't have to watch him. That's kind of the difference. Okay. And Does he play like the most arrogant, smug person in the universe? Yes, he does. So perfect casting again.
See, I kind of had the Santa Claus on my list, but I had lumped it together with a lot of stuff. I have a segment here called Any Christmas Movie with Tim Allen.
Yes, there are other Christmas movies that Tim Allen was in.
I saw Christmas with the Cranks.
With the Cranks, which is on my list, yes.
I streamlined my list, as you'll find out even in the entry after this. Christmas with the Cranks was... No.
I'm not even going to
do anything about that. Just no. It had Tim Allen in it. It's a Christmas movie. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, it's awful. Thanks for punching us right in the face with the attitude. Their name is Crank. Get it? Ha ha. Ugh, what a
piece
of garbage.
Insert rimshot here.
Yeah, really. Anyway.
Now you see, I'm going to go next into the streamlining bit.
Yes.
Because I have any movie with Tim Allen, or any Christmas movie with Tim Allen. I also have any Christmas movie with Vince Vaughn.
Also on my list. Twice. See,
Four Christmases and Fred Claus? And I'm sure there's more. But
probably are, but yep, those are the two.
But dear God, those movies didn't know. Who greenlit that stuff?
Yeah, and we're not just complaining about trailers or clips. We've watched these movies. We've watched movies so you don't have to.
So you don't have to.
This is the epitome of that concept. Those movies are god-awful.
Actually, no, we'll get to the epitome of that in a minute.
Yeah, well, we will. The King... Not just for Christmas movies either, but we will get to that. All right, back to me. Woo!
No, hang on just a minute. I do have one warning.
Oh, okay. Hit it.
If Tim Allen and Vince Vaughn do a Christmas movie together, consider that a sign of the apocalypse.
It would be the sign of the apocalypse.
And for God's sake, avoid that.
No, I want to see it.
No, it might be worse than the movie we decided was the worst Christmas movie, which we're not there yet. But
no chance of that happening. Yeah. I'm going to jump to sequels. I'm sorry, not sequels, but reboots. Reboots are very popular all the time for everything.
Yeah.
No shortage of them in Christmas movies. And I have two reboots on here, so I'll hit them both. The worst version of A Christmas Carol, in my opinion, is Disney's A Christmas Carol, which starred Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey can be an excellent actor, but
that wasn't
it. Too much Jim Carrey mugging to take this movie seriously. And yeah, it's a kid's version of A Christmas Carol. It's awful. There are so many excellent versions of the movie, even to A Muppet Christmas Carol. It's like, if you want to see something that's a little lighter so the kids won't be scared by the ghost of Christmas Future and Marley and all the rest of the stuff, have them watch that. But Disney's, and the fact that Disney's is part of the title, is kind of gross too. So Disney's A Christmas Carol with Jim Carrey, awful. Miracle on 34th Street, wonderful film. The 1994 version with Richard Attenborough is garbage. It's hot garbage. Richard Attenborough, great director, great actor. He does pretty well in the film, but it just never comes across as this guy really thinks or really could be Kris Kringle, unlike in the original 1947 version. Yeah, that one's in black and white. Get over it. It's an actual great movie as opposed to the remake, which was trash and awful.
Didn't Ted Turner in his coloring book get a hold of that and make a colored version?
He did.
That is not the way to phrase it. I apologize immediately.
He did. He did go Song of the South on it, so he did. No. Yeah, there is a colorized version if you have to watch that.
Okay.
Pardon me.
We apologize for all the coughing that we're doing, but flu shots.
Yeah, let's be
real. We do recommend... Get the flu shot, but at the same time,
yeah,
I think there's a reboot that you missed.
Probably.
That goes into Christmas movies that you should not, under any circumstance, watch. And it's been done twice now. So not only is it any Christmas movie with Tim Allen or Vince Vaughn, I'm going to flip that a little bit and go with any Grinch movie that isn't the Chuck Jones animated version with Boris Karloff.
Yes, 100% agreed.
They absolutely... nailed it the first time. It doesn't matter if it's half an hour long. Have you read the book? It's not War and Peace. You don't need to drag it out for 3 or 4 hours. Jim Carrey, like you mentioned earlier in that other thing,
yes.
You know, Jim Carrey, look at me, I'm on film. Yeah, shut up, Jim.
Yeah.
did not need that. And as much as I love Benedict Cumberbatch, no. It was nowhere near as bad as the Jim Carrey version, but it was just, it's so unnecessary because you nailed it the first time around.
Exactly. And that's the thing. It's pointless.
Anything after that, you're just going to screw it up. So don't do that.
100% agreed. It's just, I managed to forget about the Jim Carrey version of Grinch, which I guess my mind was just trying to protect myself, but right. Oh, we've got this perfect realization of the concept. Let's do it again. And to be fair, they hired Jim Carrey to do this. They hired him to mug and overact and all the rest of it. That's why they wanted him for this role. He's, when they just tell him, play a character, he's great. And in some versions, some things that he needs to be, you know, wild Jim Carrey, the mask. Perfect. Perfect for that role. But
that made sense.
Those were terrible decisions, and that's not on Jim Carrey. That's on the directors. That's on the producers who said, this is what we want. It's like, that's an awful decision. Awful. I will go on with my next, which is, ooh, we're getting down to the nitty-gritty for me.
I've got one left, and you know what that one is.
Well, then I'll hit the big one, because I'm just a throw-in as Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. Michael Keaton's a terrific actor, super funny, not a good movie. There are like 9 movies called Jack Frost, by the way, and most of them are horror movies, and all of them are terrible, the ones I've seen. I'm going to hit the big one for me, not the biggest, but the big one for me is Home Alone. I'm not just talking about Home Alone 2 or Home Alone 3 or 4 or 5, and yes, those do exist. 3, 4, 5 don't have Macaulay Culkin.
I knew they went as far as 3. I didn't realize there was a 4 and 5.
Yeah, because...
Oh, me, and they're rebooting it, by the way.
Oh, of course, why not? The whole concept is trash to me. It's like, oh, look, they forgot their kid. How funny. And then he has to battle...
Child Services, what?
Yeah, and then they have to he has to battle home invaders over the holidays, and he tortures them. It's such a funny concept. I didn't like the movie when it came out. I was personally offended that for a while it was the top grossing comedy in the United States. No longer, thankfully. Not a funny movie. It's a crap movie. And, you know, if you like it, you like it. That's cool. I'll just unfriend you on Facebook, but no. But I never liked the first one. And the fact that they made 4 sequels to this piece of garbage is just amazing. I don't know anybody that likes Home Alone 2. I don't know anybody that likes it. And yet, they made another and another and another. And now they're going to reboot the damn thing. It's like, but it's not the worst Christmas movie of all time.
No. No, and this, we were talking before the show, how this might be the worst overall movie period of all time.
Yes.
For a number of reasons. And we're just going to hit the high parts? Low parts? I don't think this has high parts. Unless they were high when they made it, at which point they would be high parts. Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas.
Yep.
Now, we were also talking before the show, what was the name of the show that Kirk Cameron was on that made him famous in the first place? And neither of us could come up with it. And I think you came up with the term, the interchangeable family show.
Yes.
Because it could be, what, Family Ties Matters, which is a BDSM thing. No, wait.
yes.
Sorry. Yeah, the Family Ties, Family Matters, Family This, Family That, Family the Other. He was on one of them. Not Full House, apparently.
He was on Full House. Oh, my God. He was on Full House and Growing Pains, somehow. Oh. He popped up on one episode, apparently, of Full House.
Banged the Olsen twins and then left.
Yes.
Family Ties Matter. All right, so the plot, if you want to call it that, of Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. Kirk's brother hates Christmas a lot. So Kirk tries to get him to come around to liking the movie. But his brother says that the holiday is very selfish, which it is, at least now. And he had this great quote in the middle of it of, wouldn't that money be better spent on the poor? Do you realize how many hungry we could feed with this? Or how many wells we could dig in Africa? This cannot be what God wants for his celebration. Did I mention that his brother was uber Christian? He's got the right idea. He has caught on, but Kirk Cameron must save him from understanding what God wants in the first place. And it just goes downhill from there, culminating, I understand. I did not I could not sit through this movie. I understand you did.
I did.
And I understand at the end of it, Kirk Cameron breakdances.
Let's not even talk about that. the fact that the brother-in-law who gets the concept of what Christmas is really about, his name is Christian. Interesting.
Hint.
Yeah.
Hint.
But according to Kirk Cameron, no, he doesn't understand the concept of Christmas, because giving presents is all about honoring the gift of life that Christ brought us and all this other. It's like, dude, did you donate all the proceeds from this movie to helping the poor? It's like, no, didn't see anything about that. Maybe he did, but I guarantee you, if this had been a work of charity, they would have put that all over the world as they could have. So no, he decided to profit off Christmas. So yeah, way to go. The best thing about this movie is it's an hour and 19 minutes long. That might be the only good thing about it. So kind of like a root canal, less, I don't know. I'm trying to think of how long a root canal took. It might take about the same amount of time. I'd rather go through that again. I'd rather go through that again twice. Yeah, this is a terrible movie. Absolutely terrible movie. The only people that are in it or have anything to do with it are friends and family of Kirk Cameron. Let's see. Look, cast list. David Shannon. Then there's Cameron Reidner, Everett Reidner, Reese Reidner, Sharon Shannon, Carissa Shannon, Lydia Shannon, Andrew Shannon. Like, weird little cult you have here. There's like three families that got together and made this movie.
I'm thinking there might be a way of making it worse, though. I'm just
make people watch it.
If you add Larry the Cable Guy, Vince Vaughn, and Tim Allen, it might make, actually that might improve it.
That would improve it, because then you could spread the hate to more of them. Yeah, this is just a terrible and easily the worst of Christmas movies, because it's so freaking preachy about this is the right way to celebrate Christmas. Why are you thinking about taking care of the poor?
Except it's wrong.
It's so terrible. And at least it's not officially titled Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas, but all the promotional material is Kirk Cameron's Saving Christmas. So again, more about how great Kirk Cameron is as opposed to,
Christmas. I didn't think he was that good on Family Ties Matter.
Yeah, it's supposed to be about how awful the over-commercialization of Christmas is. And it's an endorsement of the commercialization of Christmas. And he does talk about how important it is for family to get together and all the rest of it. But I don't know why he's lecturing, and it's his brother-in-law. It's his brother-in-law, not his brother. But
whatever.
He came to the family Christmas party. So it's not like he didn't get that concept. So everything he rails against him about, little Kirk Cameron is wrong. Like, dude, he showed up for the family aspect of it. He's just not into all the gift-giving and all the fake crap about it. It's like, it's so wrong-minded, it's so preachy, it's so holier than thou, literally. It's like, God, what a piece of crap this is. Just the arrogance of this prick who's like, this is how you celebrate Christmas, absolutely makes it the worst Christmas movie of all time, with no comparison. Yeah, Vince Vaughn and Larry the Cable Guy, they could be in it, and I don't know, they could play Satan and his little minions, and it would make it a better Christmas movie. Jeez, this is such a terrible piece of garbage. All the others are bad movies, but at least none of them, have the temerity to lecture you about how you should celebrate Christmas and how you're wrong about thinking that Christianity is about taking care of the people who have less than you. Like, way to go, Kirk.
Yeah, brilliant twit. So, anyway, that's the I believe that is the end of our show.
Thank God.
Yeah, we don't want it to get any worse than this. That was hideous. There are so many better things to go see than these movies. And that's what I'm going to recommend, as I do at the end of every show. Thankfully, none of these are in theater, so I can safely say you should get out and go see a movie.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that,